Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze! Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour!
We're yes. here, right here!
We are... If you think, audience and listener, live stream listener, that this is... that we're just delayed, that is not true. We are honoring and celebrating... the German Bundesliga champions, Bayer Leverkusen, who also like to keep things late.
And Leverkusen, the Leverkusen. seven minutes past stoppage time. We got the equalizer against Dortmund.
Perhaps the latest Kusen.
This is 22 minutes past stoppage time. we got the stream started. So
you got pants on though?
I did. I actually when you texted me, I did not. Whenever I go on the podcast without pants, I'm always like, I hope they don't notice. So when you text me, I'm like, fine, I'll put pants on.
Because usually you can't tell, but there have been times where...
What's the close call?
Where you could tell.
When I lean back and get too relaxed sometimes, sometimes my frame isn't my friend.
I have pants on always.
Well, good for you.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about me.
Oh, la-di-da, mister. I wear pants every day. I'm at school. I'm at Zoom school every day. And if they knew what I had on outside of that frame. I've gotten A plus oral report exams.
You
having
told
no pants
me.
On. Having Congrats, no pants on.
Without pants. It's not required for the A plus. You don't need pants to get an A plus.
Hey, I'm a Hollywood man, and Hollywood is all about the frame, Bjorn. Does it fit in the frame?
Whatever outside, you know, just outside the frame, you're strangling your spouse with
100%.
One hand. You're
That's
stealing
right.
money with the other. Doesn't matter. Only matters what you
What's
can see.
In the frame.
Yeah.
In the frame. Much like Seba S is here and he wants to talk right away. My mind's in safety. What's happening,
oh, yes.
bro?
Finally, after weeks of trying, we finally made it to that relegation spot that we so desperately
the flip.
So desperately seem to want to be in. So finally the road point that Mainz got in Freiburg on Sunday.
Flipped us.
Yeah.
Got the flip.
But it's like, this is really, everybody wants to get relegated. We had another sad, sad loss against, who did we play? Hoffenheim?
Darmstadt? No, Köln lost to Darmstadt, didn't they?
Köln, oh. yeah, anyway, we lost our game, and then Köln loses
you guys
at
lost
home.
To, you lost to Wolfsburg. Lost to
Wolfsburg. Wolfsburg yeah. and Hoffenheim in my head are almost the same team. I confuse those very often.
Well, one's a Werksverein, like Bayer Leverkusen, and the other is Dietmar Hopps.
It's sort of, well. They're both like kind of clubs without fans. Anyway, so we lost, yeah, we had a sad loss to Wolfsburg, but then Köln lost at home to Darmstadt, so we were like, I mean, we may not get another point and still... make it into the relegation playoff, and then we're going to play Düsseldorf, and then we're going to be the first Bundesliga team for a long time to lose the relegation playoff. Who knows? Somebody was saying the stat, which was supposed to be reassuring, but really wasn't. He's like, a team that's beaten Bayern has not gotten relegated in 9 years. I was like, that is not a, that doesn't mean it, you know, it's like, so it does happen sometimes.
Have faith. That's one of those, I forgot what they're called, crypto facts or something. There's a statistic, like a statistic that says, like, in Chicago, they measured that ice cream sales double when murder rates also go high. And the reason that's the case is because it's more common to do it during the summertime and in the wintertime, because Chicago's long winters. And also, ice cream sales are up in the summertime. It's like an unrelated statistic, you know what I mean?
Right,
but it's
right.
Like you can match them if you want. That what you just said, the whole like no team that's defeated Bayern München, that sounds like something like that.
Zebas thinks that it's going to be good if Fortuna Düsseldorf is back. But how are they better? They're a better team to have in the Bundesliga than Bochum? I don't know about that.
Well, they do have a bigger stadium. They have the same space and size. But no, it doesn't matter. Going back to what David Riccio says, Köln has punched check to Pflugerville. So the bright lining for you, Bjorn, is, yeah, like you said, who wants to lose the fastest? All three teams are still stumbling. The only reason Mainz flipped is because Mainz got a point.
Mainz has been on a roll. Mainz has been the only team...
Who's been getting points.
Yeah. So they are...
But Köln... When was the last time Köln got a point? I'm almost this up right now. Been a while.
When they beat us, and with two stoppage time goals.
Oh, right.
That could have been that would have been the end for them. And anyway, yeah. I mean, they.
But Bjorn, they lost to Darmstadt.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm saying. I think we may the playoff spot may be ours. Yeah, because mine seems like they're getting points and we're not. But Köln and Darmstadt are probably toast. Is Köln going to get another 5 points? I don't think so.
Do you know what game this is this weekend?
This is the big one.
Mainz versus Köln is this Sunday.
Yeah, and that's going to be big for Mainz and bad for Köln. But if the way the thing's been going, maybe Köln will win, and then, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, maybe Bochum is looking to get that playoff spot. And right now, is it Fortuna Düsseldorf? Like, what is it?
Yeah, it's definitely. It looks like... Well, St. Pauli got another. They won finally after struggling a little bit. So they and Holstein Kiel got the big win on the road in Hamburg. So it looks now those two are gonna make it up, and Düsseldorf is gonna be third. Like that's probably how it's gonna stay unless something really dramatic happens. But
yeah, but that'll be a good match. Again, it's the second division. So like David Riccio said. Punch their ticket to Pflugerville, which is
It's the Super League, man. The second Bundesliga is the Super League. Look at this lineup. We have Hamburg, HSV, Hertha, Schalke, Nürnberg, der Rekordmeister, Kaiserslautern. These are,
Hannover, who's
Hannover 96.
Club,
yeah, these are big, big teams.
Well, it's like we said, if you go to second division, you're going to start. Like now, Köln gets the thing, and let's say Bochum doesn't survive. You know, then it's time to win again. It's time to go win a title, win the Bundesliga 2, right? You got to win titles sometime. So it's not all.
I don't know. My heart hasn't been in it. I don't know. I don't know what. I'm not sure what my problem is. I feel like I'm tired. I guess I'm tired of this. Like you know, the couple decent players that we have already have different teams for next season. They're gonna leave no matter what happens. And this is the way the cookie crumbles. This is what I signed up for. This is not a new thing. I shouldn't be complaining about it. This is the Bochum way. Underfunded, not enough money. The little brother in the shadow of Schalke and Dortmund, the bigger teams, punching above its weight. Always on the verge of relegation. I don't know. This year, I'm feeling tired.
Yeah, but if you sink to Bundesliga 2, then you'll be the big. You'll play Schalke and you'll be favorites. You'll go to that packed stadium and you'll win those games. You know, you'll probably lose Asano, favorite Bochum player. You're gonna lose Asano to LAFC or wherever. I don't know where Asano would go, but you're gonna lose him, my favorite player. Are you tired of living but scared of dying?
What you mean as a fan,
just in general.
No, I feel good. I feel good about life. I feel happy about life in general. Maybe that's why the Bochum. no longer vibing with the eternal malaise that is VfL Bochum.
Well, that's a line from Old Man River. I was watching a lot of Old Man River.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a man.
Went right over my head.
Well, it's a very specific line, but so specific. In the song, he's like, what does he say? He's like, I'm tired of living, but I'm afraid of dying.
Yeah.
Power, man, power. And that is very much the, for a lot of fans at this point of the season, the feelings of the relegation fodder clubs. They're just like, enough. I don't know what's going on here.
Ugh.
Enough. Here we go. Whoa. Stay back, Bochum. You guys will lose to Dusseldorf, but it'll be good for Bundesliga. Oh, yeah, we already talked about this. Why would it be good for enough? Because Dusseldorf is right next to the Ruhrgebiet, but it's not the Ruhrgebiet. You know?
It's not.
And we need, and then Dortmund will be the only Ruhrgebiet club left. We need Ruhrgebiet clubs, man. That's a tradition, especially with Schalke gone.
That's true, yeah. We used to have four or five. We used to have Duisburg, Schalke, Dortmund, Bochum. Rot-Weiß Essen really hasn't.
That's from back in the day.
Hasn't been up there in a long time. But
I guess it's old German history. But historically, like, the Ruhrgebiet is like Germany is what London is. It's like it's kind of where football really got its legs in Germany, and a lot of clubs.
When I was a kid. When I was, you know, MSV Duisburg, they were a Bundesliga team. They were definitely up there. And I was talking to my son about Michael Tönnies. Do you know who Michael Tönnies is?
You brought him up here on the podcast, yeah. The guy
what's
who
that?
Spoke.
The chain guy, like, we've talked about
cigarettes.
Yeah.
No, but it's still fun to revisit, yeah.
Chain smoking. Yeah, he was like the knipser of all knipsers. He would like not venture outside of the box, but he would put everything in. I showed my son a clip where he scored a hat trick in the Ali Khan Karlsruhe days. He scored a hat trick, the fastest hat trick. He scored a hat trick in like 30 minutes on Ali Khan. In the end, he got 5 goals. They won 6-2. And then he gave an interview after while smoking a cigarette. I mean, incredible guy.
They don't make him like that anymore.
They do not make him like he was such a Ruhrgebiet, like a classic. But he had like, I think he scored 107 goals in 179 games or something. That's pretty good.
He was the spirit of Szymanski on the football pitch.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Szymanski, the great. Ruhrgebiet.
Anyway, so yeah, the Ruhrgebiet has a proud tradition, but you are correct. If Bochum go down, then there's only one left. That would be sad.
Dortmund's carrying the tradition, but I mean, I guess you know football's just different than you can't really lean on history much anymore, can you? But it's still sad, just for the history buffs like me. And a bigger thing, I guess when one goes away, one comes. The other bigger thing is the entire North has been poo poo for the last 5 years. So it's nice that. I love that St. Pauli and Holstein Kiel. So it's like it's like the North is back, but not the North we know, not the North we remember is back. You know?
St. Pauli, they're not going to be sustainable as a Bundesliga
team. Oh, yeah.
Team.
Who knows? Because Union Berlin was a similar background, but Union Berlin had this investment and they figured out St. Pauli is not going to have any investment or anything.
You never know. Yeah. But they'll have a fun time for a year or two.
I love it. They're up there. But yeah, it is the way it is. Heidenheim's coming in there, Holstein Kiel's coming in there. New clubs are partying, old clubs are dying. So it's the Bundesliga, baby. We're back.
So everybody's tired.
Everybody's tired. I remember reading an article a year or two ago about like clubs that'll never make it to the Bundesliga ever again. And St. Pauli was top of the list. Which is one of those ridiculous articles. I'm just like, that's not how this works. Maybe. And now here they are. So screw that guy on that dumb article.
And they are, things would have to go really wrong for them to not make it at this point. They have, who are they playing? Well, they still have. They have Hansa Rostock at home, then HSV on the road, but it's a short road, and then Osnabrück, and then Wien Wiesbaden. So they have, I think they should do it. They should be able to.
Hansa Rostock's another one of those clubs. They were the only Eastern club of merit back
in the day. A while,
And then they fell off, and they've been in the third division for a while. And now the only Eastern club is Leipzig, simply because they had an external, they're like an American soccer franchise, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Other than that, there's no Eastern club, I guess, other than Union Berlin. Union Berlin is now the only real DDR club.
Yeah. Dynamo Dresden is far, far down,
Yeah, but it was Hansa Rostock. They were like the big Eastern club. I believe Heath Pierce once played for them. And then I was going to say Greg Berhalter, but he played for Cottbus. No. So, you know, the mighty Heath Pierce played for them. So, yeah. Okay, so we got here Schalke, Seba S. Schalke 4, I hope they do well. I feel bad for their fans. Do you feel bad for fans that physically attack their own players at the end of the season? We feel, how bad should we feel for these fans? So I was reading the Borussia Dortmund history book by Uli Hesse. Such a great book. Highly recommend it.
Oh, it's I'm still working on the Beckenbauer book.
Right. There's so much soccer media. I'm working on some too. I'll talk about what I watched over the weekend in my soccer media segment later. It's more for the US hour. But Schalke 04 before the Bundesliga, they were by far the big boys of the Ruhr. They won 5 national titles.
Oh, my God.
Dortmund was like little Dortmund. Everyone's little, but Schalke.
Yeah,
Schalke
they
was
didn't
big.
Even exist. Yes, right. It was all Schalke.
And then half of the, not half, but a big chunk of the 1954 guys were all Schalke players. You know, like Bernie Klot, I think. I might be mixing it up. But essentially, Bayern meant like the Munich clubs were big. It's not like Schalke was only big. But in that region, which is considered the hotbed of deutsches Fußball, Schalke were kings. For whatever reason, when the Bundesliga came about and whatnot, Schalke never, ever, ever won a title. They just, when things modernized, they didn't fall off like Rot-Weiß Essen did, because Rot-Weiß Essen was also the big kings now. But for whatever, like their big stadium and their fans, the Königsblauen, the Royal Blues, it's all history. I mean, how old is the Bundesliga? It's 50 seasons, and they've won none in 50 seasons. And now, a month ago, they were close to being an amateur club. I mean, that's ridiculous. They need to get their act together over there in Schalke. And they need to finally freaking win a title one of these days. How about that? If Bayer Leverkusen can win, then so can Dortmund, so can Schalke, so can Leipzig. They just need to pull it together, boys. Who is the next Bundesliga club winner that's not Bayer Leverkusen or not Bayern? Maybe it's Stuttgart. Why not?
Stuttgart, you know, they were always, in my lifetime, they were always that team that every once in a while would sneak one in. Right. Like, so if they're back to their old strength, perhaps. I mean, they have a big fan base. They have some money. Maybe.
Well, they didn't have, unless I'm missing, they didn't have a huge, just like Bayer Leverkusen, they didn't have some cash injection or anything.
There's no reason why Stuttgart should be not as big as Dortmund, for example. They have a big following.
But what I'm saying is Stuttgart's success has just been simply due to a little bit of restructuring that we've been talking about, right? They have that player council. They have that new sport director come in. And then they had Sebastian Hoeneß come in, who for no reason should be as good as he is. His time with Hoffenheim was not as successful as his time with Stuttgart. It's some work down there in Stuttgart, and it's very interesting. But they're just being overshadowed right now by Leverkusen.
My latest cousin.
But I guess the big story in Europe these days, one of the big stories.
What's the big story?
What we've been seeing is the coefficient race, right? Of getting that extra slot.
Well, it's over. We got it, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much. If the only English team, England was entirely wiped out, by the way, of Europe, except for one exception. I think in the Conference League, who is it?
Aston Villa.
Aston Villa.
Unai Emery's Aston Villa. New Bayern coach Unai Emery's Aston Villa.
That's right. He is heavily linked alongside Roberto De Zerbi to take over the Bayern.
De Zerbi is out. My sources say.
Ooh.
Sources say.
I think they could do a lot worse than Unai Emery. He's a pretty good.
Emery, but they're worried about his staff. He's going to bring too many people.
Too many Spaniards.
So it's unclear. They really want to. It seems like they really just want to hire somebody for a year, because in 2025 is when everybody's available. Sebastian Hoeneß, Xabi Alonso.
Jurgen Klopp
perhaps after some a year-long spa visit. will be ready to return to work. So yeah, those are the speculations. We don't know. Thomas Tuchel to Manchester United? How about that? No, you shake your head.
I think that's a disaster.
You shake your head. All right.
I think Julian
Nagelsmann.
You
don't think Chelsea would like him back? It's been downhill since he left for that.
Bjorn, give me five reasons why Thomas Tuchel is a good manager.
What do you mean?
Explain why he's linked with big clubs. I don't get Thomas Tuchel. Explain Thomas Tuchel to me. I'm just as confused now as when I was when they hired him.
He's been very successful, you know.
How? With what?
He won the Champions League with Chelsea. They have not won anything. They have not been in a single digit place in the table. That's not quite true, but like.
Yeah, but that's it. You just named the one title he won. After years of being the head coach of PSG and Dortmund and Bayern München and.
Well, he won the French League with PSG. Does that doesn't count?
No, it doesn't count.
So
didn't Lille win that year? Are you sure we won?
Didn't Lille win that year? What do you mean?
Lille won the French League.
He was very good. You know, he was very successful in Mainz. He then took over from Jurgen Klopp in Dortmund. He was finished second. I mean, but kept them in the. He won the cup. He won the cup with Dortmund, the DFB Pokal.
Yeah, but he'd already been announced.
He won the Ligue 1 title with
PSG.
With PSG, he won a quadruple with PSG, and he.
Yeah, but neither of that.
Made the Champions League final. They haven't done that, or have they? I don't think they've done that since.
Yeah, but again, it's PSG. I mean, I know he's been the head coach
of
big clubs.
He made the finals with Chelsea and won the Champions League title.
But with big managers,
he won the Club World Championship with Chelsea.
Not the one here in the United States, so it doesn't count. Not the big one. Not the one with Red Bull Salzburg here. But so Bjorn, I feel that if I was head coach of those clubs, I would have the same titles. It's like those are big clubs. You just have to get out of their way. Like just make Neymar happy, and then all of a sudden
will
show up. With Pep Guardiola,
it's. I mean, certainly in the case of
with all the great managers, like
certainly
Pep,
in the case
like
of Chelsea and Dortmund, both have been worse off since Tuchel left significantly. So
not
that
Dortmund.
Would speak.
Not Dortmund.
That would speak. I mean, kind of. Yeah,
they almost won last year when he left. Dortmund's been doing better since. Oh, I guess he won the cup.
There were a few lean years in between, though. Where
explain to me, like I get everyone. Explain Thomas Tuchel to me. Pep Guardiola, you hold the ball. Jurgen Klopp, high press. Carlos Ancelotti, defensive stability. He's very relaxed, sort of head coach, so he manages players well. Like all the big coaches, I get them.
Oh, you mean
What's Thomas Tuchel?
What is his signature?
Yeah, be like, we need Thomas Tuchel because he's good at X, Y, and Z. What are they again? Remind me.
He's a good, I think he's good with people. He seems to be a good
no,
man.
No, he is not.
Manager? No, I mean, he's in terms of his players.
He gets ousted every club.
Yeah, he does not get, he doesn't get along with, he has a problem with authority, clearly. But with players, he's good. He's got a good track record of developing.
How did he manage Kimmich and Goretzka in the middle of the season?
Well, but is that his fault? Kimmich's been
needs to fix
on the
that
decline.
Stuff.
But he's put him back and he put him in right back. That's a good move. That's what's gonna win Germany the Euro.
What is Kimmich in the right back?
Kimmich at right back.
So, but Nagelsmann did that.
Well, who did it first? Tuchel did it first, no?
Are you genuinely telling me that Tuchel is like the best working German coach today?
Nope, I'm not saying that at all, but he's not bad. What has he done
agree with your assessment that he's not bad. But there are so many coaches that aren't bad. How come he keeps getting linked? Who's his manager? Who's his agent?
What does he keep getting? I mean, this is me like clubs. This is like some rumor in Kicker that he's going to United.
I know.
But like,
I've
why
heard
wouldn't
it
he?
Too. I've heard it too.
Why wouldn't he go there? I mean,
why is Eric
Ten Hag? What has Eric Ten Hag done that makes him
He's getting fired. When he was hired, Erik ten Hag was the coach of the summer because of his Ajax Amsterdam. Taking Ajax Amsterdam to the Champions League final is not like taking PSG to the Champions League final. Those are two different feats.
Okay.
Or was it the semis? He lost to Tottenham, was
he
it?
They didn't make the finals. But they
what has Ajax Amsterdam done
but
since?
It's one good season. I mean, that's not a ton of coaches that won the Champions League. I mean, that's just that's a small group of people. However many years, you know.
It seems like you get it. I guess other people get it. I don't get it. If I'm Manchester United,
I thought he handled Chelsea himself well in those times when, you know, they had that weird Abramovich takeover thing. Those were difficult. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying he's Pep Guardiola, but
he never played Poli, didn't really tell him why, you know. So that's just you know, people can take him.
He was hurt all the time.
As long as he never coached any of my clubs, I'll be happy. As long as he's only the coach of the opposition clubs, we'll be in good shape. Although if he does win the Champions League this year, I say keep him, right? Why get rid of him? I mean, Bayern Munich are playing okay. I mean, I don't predict that Bayern Munich are going to get past Real Madrid. I predict the Real Madrid beating PSG in the final. As much love to my German clubs, but I feel although good quarterfinals, I feel the semis are maybe their final pass in the Champions League this year. But anywho, Bayern Munich, I think Unai Emery, and then, Thomas Tuchel to Manchester United, sign me up. Manchester United's problems are not the coaching level. They haven't been the coaching level for years. And that's not the issue. So it can be Thomas Tuchel. It can be Erik ten Hag. It doesn't matter.
They're changing their leadership. They have Jim Ratcliffe is in charge. I don't know. Right. We'll see how that all goes.
So the changes at Man United are related to what Jim Ratcliffe's going to do. We'll see if that has an impact.
David Riccio wants to know if we have read A Life Too Short, The Tragedy of Robert Enke. I've been meaning to, but I have not.
No, I need to.
But I do. I am familiar with the story.
Right, me too. That was big for me because I don't know how deep you want to get to it. Because, like, you know, I'm depressed. You know, I'm like everybody else, a human being. I'm depressed sometimes and stuff. And my parents are always like, exercise more. That cures depression. And I was like, not necessarily. Robert Enke was a pretty fit dude. Sometimes it's related to circumstance. There was a really great hour-long episode.
Oh, this is your... Right.
There was a really great hour-long episode with Omar Gonzalez on a new American podcast I found called Designated Player... No, Designated Journeyman Player Podcast.
Okay.
It's a cool podcast hosted by Dax McCarty, Alan Gordon, and Dan Gargan. Three MLS career guys. And they had an hour-long interview with Bastian Schweinsteiger that only 1,000 people knew about. It's hilarious.
Really?
I highly recommend it. It's like Bastian Schweinsteiger talking about taking dumps in the Chicago Fire locker room. Anyway, great podcast. Amazing. Perfect for little freaks like us. However, they talked to Omar Gonzalez, and he talked about mental health for an hour, not mental health stability. And the great Per Mertesacker struggled with that stuff too. Per Mertesacker was... an Arsenal back, and he was on the 2014 team. He was famous for being interviewed after the Algeria game and yelling at the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? Because he's just like, what do you think? This is Sunday League? It's like, we got through the quarterfinals. What more do you want? And he struggled with stage fright. Like, he always was nervous. And he played a solid career, but he retired fast. He just never got over the performance anxiety, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mental health is a very real thing. And Robert Enke is one of the greatest tragedies. He was a great goalkeeper, and I think he had a tragic loss of one of his children, right? Something like that. Should Google it up.
I believe so.
And it was very difficult for him to handle it. So that's deep. I do need to check that book out. Is it in English, or is it only in German?
Well, it's the there's definitely a German, an English version, it looks like. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
While you speak...
You know what's funny about that? Last night I was looking up Paul Gascoigne. Gazza.
Okay.
Because, again, I'm plugging so many podcasts here. I like The Overlap or Stick to Football. You know, those the two Gary Neville podcasts. Great podcasts. Well, Roy Keane and Gary Neville.
Mm-hmm.
And they interviewed Bastian Schweinsteiger for an hour. And Bastian Schweinsteiger revealed that not only was he, ousted, he was banned from the locker room. He just showed up. And, you're not allowed in the locker room. a staff member had to go in the locker room and grab his stuff for him because he just wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed to talk to the players. He wasn't allowed in the locker room. And he had to train before and after the first team players trained. Isn't that crazy? Hmm. Jose Mourinho 100% just banned him. And he didn't know why. He's like, what the heck? So he did it. You know, typical Bastian Schweinsteiger. He just kept a smile on his face and did it. And eventually did work his way back to the team real quick at the end before he went to Chicago. But, you know, fucking Jose Mourinho, what a douchebag. But the reason I bring that up is because he was on that podcast, and then it led to all these other... Oh, Tony Meola. And they talked to... What's his face? Is it Trent Alexander-Arnold? Like, all these players that had this stuff that no one really talks about. There was a young English player.
Yeah, there's a lot of... mental health issues are rampant among pro players. I mean, people take a lot of abuse, you know?
Right. They're human beings.
It's like I was... they're human beings. It's like...
Gazza. I was talking Gazza. That's why I brought it up. Gascoigne, who was an English legend, right? He wasn't, mm-hmm. But like when they cut him in France 98, they talked about the story of being cut before the France 98 squad. He ran in the room, he screamed, he yelled, he broke windows, he had like a breakdown. And ever since then, Paul Gascoigne, even to this day, has a very, very serious issue with alcoholism and mental health. And, you know, a month ago they interviewed him. He's like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. And I try to stay, I have no money left. It's very, very sad. It's very, 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 very sad. And these guys were from the time when it wasn't as popular to seek out mental health treatment. And I just want to get rid of that. I hope the stigma is gone. And I think everybody should be reaching out for help, mental health help when they need it, and should see people on a regular basis. I would love that to be normalized. I think that would be better for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the NYCFC game on Saturday. You know, we're just we had our seats right behind the goal, and these two guys just kind of walk up and start abusing the goalie, the opposer. Right. It's just like, you know, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a mixed bag. I guess it's sort of like it's in good fun to some extent, but on the other hand, it's also like you would not, you know, you this is a particular social norm where you feel like you can do this. You would not do this in any other setting that you feel like you could talk to somebody in this way.
It's Twitter/YouTube comments live. It's like, let's do it live. Let's go. I was at the LAFC game over the weekend, which again we'll talk more about in the second hour. And when Lewis Morgan,
you were very much on TV.
I was on TV the whole time. It was amazing. I had a great time. But like when Lewis Morgan went up to take his corner, everyone's like, "You son of the word, you're the worst." And I just see how everyone just stopped. I was like, I like you a lot, Lewis Morgan.
I'm a fan. I approve of you.
I have just a cat. But
I remember when my daughter, when NYCFC first started up, they were my daughter was little, and we went to a game, and there was I think it was the Revs, and there was a player named Maloney, and somebody called him Baloney.
Right.
And Ella, my daughter, said, you know, it's not nice to make fun of somebody's name. I was like, I don't think this is the worst thing you're going
to
hear.
She's smart. Also, like when I went to New York Red Bulls games, but now this is maybe a little too soft, and you still hear it today. I don't know if you do it at NYCFC, but when the goalkeeper kicks the ball, we do, "You suck, asshole." You know that? Have you heard that before? The YSA chant?
No.
And the league tried to get rid of it because they didn't want anyone swearing, which is ridiculous to me. And I still see it today, but I brought a friend of mine to a game when that happened. He's like, I don't like that. They're making fun of the guy. Like, you know, it's again, same thing.
Yeah, it's...
When
it's,
you bring an outsider in, it's like, get ready. You have to explain
but then
to
you
that
have, yeah, but
players.
Then you have, like, if you go to a Rangers hockey game, you will hear words that you didn't even know existed. Anyway, David Reacher likes Tony Meola as a commentator. Yeah. So do I. When we had a... When we had a top list, I ranked him very highly. You laughed at me.
Tony Meola was on Kickin' It this past week. Did you see it, the Kickin' It episode?
No, I did not.
So, so good. He breaks down.
He's
talks
great.
About his struggles and stuff. And because Tony Meola, he left the game in 94, and he started an off-Broadway comedy show in New York, and then he also was a kicker for the Jets. You know, the dude lived the life. Tony Meola was drafted by the Yankees, too.
Good for him.
I thought he did that just to do that, and it's like, no, he did it for very specific reasons that were very sad. He did not share it. He kept it to himself. But he turned down offers from Southampton and an offer from Botafogo in Brazil to stay in New York for family reasons. And he was banned from the national team, which I didn't know. And an executive said, "I'll never see you in a jersey ever again after 94. You know, I'm like, whoa, what's that all about? And he also had to fight his way back. It rings true with me a little bit, by the way. I'm not an athlete, but like the Bastian Schweinsteiger story, I was in my private life. I do a lot of stuff in comedy. And a few years ago, I was cut from a team, literally. And I've been trying to get back into it ever since. And I've ebbed and flowed. And with COVID, it's just been a real struggle. And, you know, I'm still working my way back. I'm still I understand the struggle of trying to, when you first come up with something, when you're first doing it, you're young and you're learning it and it's exciting. Then when you're an established person in whatever the field is, and then you start getting criticism and maybe you get fired or cut, and like to maintain that sort of level of where you're at and trying to come back to that level as an adult, like as someone who's achieved certain things is very, very, very difficult and very, very trying on your mental, on your mentality. So for football players, it's like a next level. It's like, you know, they played for England in the 94 World Cup and they were a star and they were the leading, you know, like Ian Wright was the leading goal scorer. He never, ever, ever got in any of the teams for whatever reason. And it's just like, and he loved his country and he's like, why am I not? Then he finally got into France 98. He got injured 35 minutes into the first game, a hamstring. He's just like, well, I guess that's what I was supposed to do with England. Just for whatever reason, wasn't. He says, if I was there in 96, we would have won the Euros. That's what he believes in his heart. And he looked at, he literally brought up Oliver Bierhoff. Because Ian Wright was like, I'm supposed to go to England, get on the bench, get off the bench and score a winning goal in the last minute to get England into the final. He did not make the team, and he saw a young unknown player named Oliver Bierhoff do what he thought he was going to do at the tournament. And he's like, well, Oliver Bierhoff just did what I was supposed to do. Oliver Bierhoff famously coming off the bench, scoring two goals against the Czech Republic. But anywho, so just bring it up. There's a lot of I love the access. The bad access to social media is that we can make fun of players directly. That's ridiculous. However, the good part of it is that players can then share real
can
stories.
Also,
with us.
Can share their point of view without
but they're humans, right? But they're humans.
That's good.
Because everybody's a human viewer.
I also, you know, if listening to you, it also sort of affirms my point that, you know, sometimes also it's okay to stay where you are if things are going well. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to promote yourself into failure. It's not necessarily.
But yeah, I mean, for someone like Tony, he had no choice. I mean, there was no professional league.
No, I'm saying in terms of, you know, everybody has to go to Europe. Everybody has to, you have to prove your, you know, you have to, if things are going well, go somewhere else until it's, you haven't tried everything until you got beaten down. And that is difficult, you know, like, because like you're saying, these are all, obviously to be a professional athlete, to be a professional player, your entire life, you've been the best on your team or at least one of the, you know, so then, and then everybody reaches that ceiling at some point, and it's always a difficult moment.
Yeah, which goes back to Bayern Munich. They won 11 in a row. Maybe that's what they're dealing with—the fact that you can't be the best. Like it's harder again on this overlap or on Paramount Plus. Winning the second Champions League is always harder than winning the first.
Not going to feel sorry for Bayern Munich. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to bring this back to football somehow. That's all I'm doing here. But Jamie Carragher talked about the second Champions League final was much harder than the first. Because the first time, it's like, you won, it's fun, well done. And the second time is like, you should be good enough, you've done it before, you should be good enough to do it again. And that's why the pressure is much higher that second time.
Yeah, Pep Guardiola talks about that. You know, Arsenal have not won a title in 40 years. And City just won last year, so just keep intensity high is difficult. Yeah,
100%. But we have the second Bundesliga coming up. Everything's finishing up. It's looking like Mainz is of the three bottom feeders. Mainz has picked themselves up by the bootstraps as Bochum and Köln keep falling down the stairs. we'll see if they
really
can.
Everybody's trying their best to get relegated. Only two or three teams can succeed. Somebody else, somebody will have to stay up.
Even though,
Bochum, we're going to try again Friday already. We get the early game at home against Hoffenheim. And then we've got some bangers. We got Leipzig against Dortmund on Saturday. And the late game is Leverkusen-Stuttgart. Leverkusen, do you think, did it look like, you know, this Dort? I was like, do they even care about this unbeaten thing?
Right.
I mean, at this point, clearly.
I would.
Clearly they care a lot because they came back. The late goal of Dortmund, I was like, this is it, you know? And fine. I mean, no big deal. They won the league last weekend, then survived West Ham during the week. So what? So they lose in Dortmund, but nope, they did not. Late equalizer via corner. So yeah, so they got Stuttgart at home this weekend.
It's a mentality.
So that's a big
thing.
One. And then of course the Mainz against Köln, the relegation. The big relegation fight, that's on Sunday.
Predictions. Well, first things first, with Bayer Leverkusen, it's a mentality. They still have two big titles left. Don't get your foot off the gas.
But and plus this unbeaten. Left. Plus this right. unbeaten. No one's done that. No team right. has ever gone unbeaten in the Bundesliga. And so
this would be all cops for them. They haven't lost
that
any game.
Yeah, are they going to go unbeaten in the Europa League? Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We'll find out. But but this is another difficult game. I guess Stuttgart, they have their Champions League spot pretty much wrapped up, especially because of the coefficient math seems to be in our favor.
And yeah, there's
Dortmund.
36 teams. Now, we haven't really done a deep dive, but I think next year there's 36 overall. Supposed to be
yeah, so there's an
right?
extra
the
spot
right,
for yeah. this, for the team, for the country, the two countries that are most successful this year, and Italy has got one wrapped up, and I think Germany has
Germany's
almost wrapped
extra,
up. I can't say that I fully understand the math, but people who know this kind of thing say that it would take a lot for Germany to lose that spot. And now if Dortmund wins the Champions League, we could even have six spots next
Let's
season.
Let's do it. We would do fine with six clubs, especially with how Stuttgart and Bayer Leverkusen are playing.
I don't know.
Day.
Frankfurt. The six, I mean, we definitely have five.
Leipzig.
We have five contenders. You know, the Leverkusen, München, Stuttgart, Leipzig, Dortmund are all legit. But then there's a big drop after that.
Who won the Europa League 2 years ago, I believe it was.
Yeah, Frankfurt. They were better 2 years ago. And that's the Europa League. It's not Champions. There's a big drop between Champions League and Europa League, too.
And then predictions. Mainz, Köln. Who are you going for?
I mean, recent history says Mainz, but like the general insanity of this year's relegation battle.
I'm going to call it right now. Mainz is going to win 6-5. It's one of the greatest high goal scorers. It's one of the greatest high goal scoring thrillers in Bundesliga history.
6-5.
It's like one after another.
6-5.
The goalkeepers probably aren't even there. They're just like.
Köln have scored 23 goals all year. They're going to score
five
in one game and still lose.
Yeah.
Going to score five goals in one game.
They should have never gotten rid of. What's his face? My greatest club player I love. Anthony Modest.
Ah.
Last thing, Bjorn, explain it to me like I'm five. Why is Red Bull Salzburg in the FIFA? Talk about math. Why did Red Bull Salzburg make it over like PSV Eindhoven in this FIFA Club World Cup thingy thing? How'd that happen?
Well, it's math.
Yeah, but Chelsea had to lose for them. I'm like, what? Why is that contingent? I understand certain countries have a cap, whatever, that's fine. But then in my mind, the next team up is PSV Eindhoven, right? They've been crushing it. They're Holland. Why did Austria get dibs over the
A place was previously reserved for this year's Champions League winners. However, all four teams in the semifinals have already qualified for the Club World Cup, meaning the place has been reallocated. It goes to the best performing club in the competition over the past 4 years who are not already in the competition. There you go.
Well, but why was that not PSV Eindhoven? That they made a run to like the quarters this year, and then they make a run to the quarters a couple years ago.
Well,
too?
I guess it's over the last. It just said over the last four, over the past 4 years.
Red Bull Salzburg was last place, and they've never made it to the round of 16.
They have. They made it to the round of 16 in 2022. They have featured in the group stages for the past 4 years and made the round of 16 in 2022.
Yeah, but PSV made the quarters this year. Oh, no, they made the round of 16 this year against Dortmund. I don't know. Rebels Oddsports there. They got rid of
there you have Struber. It. That's why. Arsenal was going to be Arsenal, but since they didn't make it, it's now RB Salzburg.
Okay, I guess that's it. That's it.
I explained it to you.
Thank you. I guess I still don't, because I thought PSV did as good, if not better, under that explanation. But I guess
well,
I'm putting the calculator
okay.
out.
Hold on. Record scratch. Now I'm gonna look it up.
Are any Dutch clubs in the FIFA Club World Cup? No, right?
No.
Look it up. I'd take Club Bruges before I take Red Bull Salzburg, right?
Well, but this is it's math, man.
Yeah.
It's like
this isn't the math we're learning in my math class. This is a different type of math. We should take a college course called UEFA FIFA Math. Coefficients math.
Hold on here.
Leverkusen may never lose again. Stuttgart's great season is an afterthought. They were relegated, but Union Berlin not long ago. David Richard, that's right. Stuttgart doing well. The topsy-turviness of a lot of these clubs are, because Stuttgart was also in the second division not too long ago, And then they won the title in 2009 or whatever they won the title. The wacky times.
The RB Salzburg is the... They have that spot. Yeah, I'm trying to find.
We'll do this math later. How about that?
I guess so. Well, you.
I know, but it's complicated. It's complicated.
Well, I'm just trying to find this table how these other team rank, but it's not.
I believe that you keep searching. I'll find.
Well, there's. It's different from the UEFA. UEFA. Okay, so here we have it. So Salzburg profited from a rule that only two teams per country can qualify unless a country had three different Champions League winners. So that means Arsenal had to win in order to do it. And they use a different system than the UEFA coefficient. The UEFA only lists Salzburg as the 40th strongest team in Europe between Dinamo Zagreb and Dutch Alkmaar.
But
the FIFA Club World Cup math is different. And so, by that math, Salzburg is the best team that is not already qualified.
You just said there's a new type of math if they change it up.
Do you want to really get? You
no,
want to get
no,
into
no.
the?
No, all I know is that what you told me about Salzburg being on par with Alkmaar and Dinamo Zagreb, I'll buy that. Right? I buy that. Is Red Bull Salzburg on par with a PSV Eindhoven? I would say, or a Sevilla or something. I'd say no, I don't think so. I think they're half a step below. Am I being unfair?
All right. So we have okay, so here I found the table. The 4-year coefficient ranking, the 8 highest ranked clubs on this UEFA qualifies for the FIFA Club World Cup. The 4 UCL winners also qualifies. And then a cap of 2 clubs per country applies. So that's why. So okay. Right. So we've got Man City, Real Madrid, Bayern, PSG, Chelsea, Inter. They're all. Then Liverpool doesn't qualify because of the two-team rule. Dortmund, Porto, Atletico Madrid. Leipzig, Barcelona don't qualify because of the two-team per country rule. Benfica, Juventus, Napoli, Sevilla, AC Milan all not qualify. And then FC Salzburg is number 18 by this list.
Over
Ajax. Barely. Salzburg has, Ajax was not in the Champions League at all 23-24. That's why it hurts them. They have the best.
They made it to the semis.
They get more points for that than Salzburg gets any year, but because Salzburg was in 23-24 gets 7 points where Ajax got 0. So that makes up that difference. And so they're barely, by 1 point, they're ahead of Ajax by that math. Shakhtar Donetsk is next, and Bruges is after that in 34. Bruges also was not in the Champions League at all in 23-24. So consistency. They haven't been spectacular, but they also made that round of 16 that one time. So they get 17 points for that versus the IX 22 points. So that's five, but they make up with the seven that they got in 23-24.
They were the only club of the batch of clubs that were in the Champions League every season the last four seasons. So
yeah, and had one we're in all four seasons and had one run pretty good had knockout one run. Pretty good year. Yeah, because there's others that made it all four, you know, like for example,
even though PSV who were you, a better
who were
team,
you mentioning you PSV. Were mentioning
even though PSV, oh, PSV is a better
has
team,
just PSV hasn't made it in
They were gone for 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, in 3 years. They only were in it for 1 year.
Really?
Yeah.
Really interesting.
And they got 17 points that year, but that's not enough.
Thank God for the American. Thank God for the American.
Shakhtar Donetsk also was in all 4 years, but never went past the group stage. So they also are up there, but not...
I'm not going to argue that Shakhtar Donetsk is a better club than Rebels Outspoy. That's okay. Not what I'm arguing. I'm arguing more PSV.
Ajax, well, PSV was not. It was only in the Champions League 1 out of 4 years. So that's you're wrong about that. Ajax were close, and only missed out by 1 point basically over the course of these four seasons.
So Outspoy beat out Ajax by a point. Okay, there you go. Excellent.
So we have broken this down in more detail than anybody ever wanted to.
True, and I still feel it's... I understand why, but I still feel it's wrong.
See, this is why this was...
But it doesn't matter.
This was a futile effort, because you're still not convinced.
No, I'm convinced. It's just
we've broken down the math, but...
Now tell me why Al Hilal is the best club in Asia, even though they haven't won anything, and they've done... Now do that part. Well,
competition's a little... Is Club Bruges as good as the movie In Bruges? It's definitely not. That movie holds up. I watched that over Christmas break with my family. All right, let's wrap this up here. It's very good. It's a little gory.
Oh, it is. Interesting. Okay, well, that was the Germany Hour. We got the USA Hour coming up. We're talking MLS. Both of us attended games this weekend.
We're going to do a deep dive into roster rules for 45 minutes. I'm going to read the regulations.
Will the icon
we're gonna hear it live from our TV superstar, Schnitzel Uberfan, who was so on TV.
Wearing a
Schnitzel Boys outfit.
You can find me because if you look close enough, you can see the logo of the podcast.
Didn't even have
the crowd.
Didn't even have to look all that closely. It was right there.
All right, cheers. See you in a bit, or see you in Ace of Oja. We haven't started the stream yet. You'll see it in a minute. We got to set it up.